All right, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am going to rejoice and I am going to be glad in it. Greeting fellow members of the Family Church School class here at Resurrection on this lovely day here in July. Hot, but it's a lovely day. We have a very good lesson today. Just that you would pray my strength and health. I am feeling as best as I can. The lesson today is taken out of Ezekiel, and it's a very familiar passage, one that we're very familiar with, but as I've always warned, about lessons like this, familiarity will breed contempt. And actually, this is probably one of the lessons that has been most misinterpreted. Because in the interpretation of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, most folk try to make the audience present day. And really, although written for everyone, it was written to a particular people. And we'll get into that. Amen, amen. Okay, Brother Terry Moten, please unmic. Our authors have entitled our lesson today, Ezekiel Brings Hope to Israel. Understanding the backdrop of this particular prophecy is that Israel has been taken in to captivity in Babylonia, and even the prophet and the king have been in Babylonian. One of the things about Ezekiel is that Ezekiel is one of those men in the entire Bible that served both as a priest and the prophet. And we see at the very early outset of this particular book that Ezekiel talks about his call into the ministry of prophecy. But before that, a little young 25-year-old Sister Stallings, he was a priest, you know, he was really representing the people to God, but God saw fit to call him as a prophet. And we know prophets speak to the people from God. And that's very important to remember him in this young man in this exotic period has been called to share a word with the nation of Israel. And it's done by a series of visions. You know, we talk about this one, Sister Taylor, but actually, before we get to chapter 37, we had already had some really strange visions from this prophet called Ezekiel. As a matter of fact, in many circles for years, those of you been around me for a long time have heard me teach this, know that Ezekiel was called one of those psychedelic prophets because people say he had to be on something in order to come up with the kind of stuff that he came up with. And it certainly is a strange one today, but it certainly, though not written to us as an audience, it's written for us. There's something that we can see. And basically, from the very outset, I want to share with you that in Christ, there is no hopelessness. And in today's vision, Sister Ogletree, we see death all around. And when we see that death, we have a tendency to start thinking about hopelessness. But God is our strength. God is our hope. God is our salvation. And what today's lesson should point out to us is that no matter how down we get, God is able to breathe a fresh life, a fresh start in all of our lives. If he can do it for the children of Israel, I'm telling you, he can do it for you and I. You guys don't know this is not the first stumbling block we've had at Resurrection. As a matter of fact, at Resurrection, we've had a lot of stumbling blocks in our later years. It's just a sign. In 39 years, we went decades without having a homegoing celebration and losing folk. But God has prepared us for such a time as this to remind us that every day, this day, you can look to him for all your hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus's blood and his righteousness. And though many have interpreted today's lesson as one as, there are great evangelism messages and lessons that can be taught from this lesson. And yes, they are surely applicable. But today, I just want to focus on what kind of hope he brought Israel as a faithful prophet, because we're on the unit under prophets, faithfulness and prophecy, that he did exactly what he was asked to do, even though it sounded crazy. And folk, God will ask you to do some crazy things on this journey. It won't make no sense to us. But if God says, do it, do it. Let's see what the lesson's all about. Chapter 37, verses 1 through 14 of what we're going to look at today.
Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones.
Go ahead.
And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again.
Praise the Lord. Did Ezekiel introduce himself well enough here to tell you how he got to this point? Because remember, I just said, their revelations, their visions before this. But in this one, God comes to Ezekiel and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. And I want to prophesy to the audience that you have. Because you can't prophesy to the audience you don't have. Listen to this. God takes Ezekiel, sweeps him up. We don't know how to do it, but you guys are fascinated by Star Trek. I'm telling you, if they can transport people, you know, I'm quite sure God is more than capable of getting him to where he wanted him. But he takes him to the plains, to a valley, and he takes him to a valley of death. And it says that he caused me to look around, and all I saw were dry bones, a lot of them. Now, I'm not a biology major, and maybe Sister Gwen is, but when I see bones, I see skeletons. When I see bones, I see partial skeletons, because it says that they were It was a vast valley. God, why are you taking this man to a vast valley of dry bones? As we will learn in a few minutes, is because that's the state of Israel. They are dead. And folk, when you're dead, you need reviving. When you're dead, you need resuscitation. When you are dead, you need life. But Ezekiel says, all I saw was bones. And he said, the Lord took me to this place, showed me this valley of bones, showed me this valley of death. And here's what he said to me. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered immediately, Lord, only you know that. Ezekiel is perplexed. He's saying, you asked me about whether or not these bones can live. My first estimation is, I don't know, but I think it's mighty hopeless. Oh yeah. Ezekiel is being the realist here, because that's what happens when we see death. We see it in its final form. But here, the death that we are looking at here, we're looking at a death of what is to be a whole nation. And the death is not simply that they just freshly died, killed over. Their bodies don't resemble living, walking, talking, breathing body, because there are bones scattered everywhere. And God is asking me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, Lord, only you know. This is a hopeless situation. These bones are dead. They're not only dead, they're dry. Sister Graham, verse 4, what did the Lord say?
And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Here is your assignment. Imagine, Brother Bogan, imagine, Deacon Ford, that the Lord calls you and tells you your first assignment is to go preach to dead bodies. What? Your very first assignment is to preach to dead bodies? Well, when you take a closer examination, Sister Vanessa, you will find that's what the word is for. The word is for unsaved folk, folk who are lost, and who are dead in their trespasses. Who else is the word for but those that are dead in their trespasses? Those that are alive and breathing, but they don't hear the word. And God tells Ezekiel, the psychedelic prophet, go preach to dry bones. Can you imagine going home to your mate, Brother Davis, and telling her, the Lord called me, honey, and he wants me to go preach to dry bones. He wants me to go to the graveyard and preach to the dead. And here's what I want you to say.
Hear,
O dry bones, the Lord. Hear, O dry bones, the Lord. Hear, O dry bones, the Lord. No, I'm not caught in a loop. Hear, O dry bones, hear, dead folk, Hear folk who have ears but don't hear. Hear folk who are dead in their trespasses, who just go on living like there is no tomorrow. Hear, preach to them what thus says the Lord. Preach to them not that what you said, but what I said. That's what God says. Sister Gwen?
Verse 5, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay
bones, dry bones, dry bones, dead folk, dead folk, dead folk. Preach to them, preach to the word, take my word, prophesy my word, tell them what I said. What I said was that I will cause breath to enter into you. God says, go tell them that I will give them breath. I will give them life. Anyone who is in sin and rebelling against is rebelling against God. And if they're rebelling against God, the Bible says that they are devoid of all divine content and that they are dead. And the only way for them to live is to have life, life afresh, and to have the very breath, the very spirit of God. Tell them this. This is your assignment. Go tell dead folk. Go tell folk that are lost in their transgressions that I will renew life in them. Hear the word of a God and live. Verse 6.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
God says, when you get through telling them what I want you to tell them, they will know that is nobody but God that can do this. There's a purpose behind this. Many things happen in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. You hear it. We may think we're in desperate, hopeless situation, but the word of God is clear that when you take on the word of God, new life is energized into you. That dead situation is moved. If you can just get a word from the Lord, if you just can hear the word from the Lord. Now, faith cometh by hearing the word. So he tells them, here's what I promise you. You're in a dead, hopeless situation. But you know what I'll do? All those dry bones, I will put skin over them. I will put tendons over them. I will put muscle over them. Do you hear me, Sister Pillow? Do you really hear me here? Wait a minute. God, I see the dry bones. You want me to tell them that if I just speak the word and they hear the word, that he will cover those dead bones with skin and muscles and tendons. In other words, I'll reconstruct that which has been destroyed. Y'all don't hit me. Man, y'all are not happy enough about this lesson here today. Because let me tell you one thing. You got to be in a position where you ain't got no control over nothing. And trust me, I'm experiencing that right now. I ain't in control of nothing. There is no, hey, you know, that those dark clouds running. It started off You know, this went wrong, that went wrong, that went out, this went out. Anything can happen. But all I know is there were a valley of dry bones that were much deader than my situation. And God has promised to revive those dry bones. Now, let me tell you about a little of the difficulty, but I'm quite sure all of you already understand. In this valley of dry bones, many say this is maybe the Hidden Valley, but we really don't know about the location. But in this valley of dry bones, a great army had been destroyed. And they were just left there, exposed to the sun and to the wind. But you know what? They were exposed to something else, the vultures. And so they would come, as you can imagine, they would swoop down and they would pick body parts up and they would take them to other parts of the valley, strewn all over the valley, could take them anywhere. Some of these, there's no indication, but many of these bodies, because of the time of decay, they are just totally fragmented. And some of the bodies are simply dust. Y'all help me. But God tells Ezekiel, if you will just be obedient, here's my promise. I'll restore these dead bodies. The bones that the vultures have carried off, you ain't got to worry about it. I'll address that a little bit later, just in a few minutes here. So I want you to see the situation. He says, I'll put it back together and you shall live. And you will know that I am the Lord your God. Those bones in that valley for a purpose. People were estranged, disobedient. And God says, because you're dead in your trespasses, but I am willing to restore you. Ezekiel, go tell them what I said. Verse 7.
Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
Did y'all like the way Sister Thompson read that? Because, it should make all of you shout. Here's a man who has been given an assignment, a very strange assignment, taken to a strange place, taken to the valley of death, where all he sees is death without recuperation. He didn't see fresh bodies, you know, lying in a morgue. He saw total hopelessness, total destruction. And God tells him one thing, if you speak to him, I'll put them back together. And if you speak to them, I'll put life back into them, and they will know that I am the Lord. And guess what Ezekiel did? I did exactly as God commanded. You know what, folks? Let me tell you, do you realize how depressing it had to be? He's in captivity, and he's getting a vision and a cumulative now that he knows the state of his people. He knows that they are strange and cut off. He knows they're in captivity for it. He knows they're being oppressed. He knows that they're being beat up and battered. But yet, he hears God. He obeys God. And he speaks in the graveyard. He speaks in the graveyard to a pile of bones, a masses of dirt and dust, and he hears something. He heard noise. There was a shaking. And the bones, you remember those bones? Those bones that were all fragmented, dried up, bleached. Those bones came together by the words that Ezekiel had spoke from God. Sister Gwen, eight, describes, bones came together. Bones came together. But guess what? If all you got is bones coming together, all you got is a skeleton. Sister Thompson.
Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them.
See, I told y'all, y'all didn't hear it. Listen to me. I told y'all, all there was a skeleton. Do you think Ezekiel could at least, if it was possible, go together and put all those bones together and stand them up? But even if they did, they wouldn't have breath. Those skeletons in that valley needed exactly what Adam needed in Genesis 1. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He had world consciousness and self-consciousness. But he had no God consciousness. And when you don't have God consciousness, you don't have life. You don't have the breath of God. So God breathed into his nostril, and Adam became a living flesh. And God is about to redo the same thing. That's why he told Ezekiel earlier, they will have to know there ain't nobody but me. The same one who created you is able to sustain you. The same one who created you is able to revive you. The same one who created you and revived you is able to resurrect you. That's nobody but God. That's nobody but God. He says in that B clause there, Sister Thompson, but there was no breath in there. Then said what, Sister Thompson?
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
You know what? If nothing else, if nothing else happens, you guys ought to be rejoicing over the over the obedience of Ezekiel. Not only did you just tell me to preach to dry bones, and yes, I saw some results. Now you want me to look around the valley in all the directions, the four winds. It's really talking about direction, and I want you to say to those winds, come here. Fill this valley. And breathe upon these dead bones. And when you prophesy to the wind will obey you, because the wind knows that it's me that is summoning them. Through your voice. This here, we have more happening here. Not only did he prophesy to the bones, but he now prays to the bones. He prays to the wind and says, wind, God says, come to the valley. And when you come, you're coming with life. You're coming with the life of God. So guess what? In verse 10, here's what happened.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army.
Mr. Gwynn enjoyed reading that one. Oh, she really enjoyed reading that. Because here it shows the complete revival of a dead situation here. And if you are thinking that your situation is dead and hopeless and because some stuff has happened to you, I'm here to tell you that God will breathe life back into your situation. If he can breathe life back into a dead man, dead men, dead army's body, he can breathe life back into your situation. He can give you the air you need to keep on breathing. Oh, feels so good. He can breathe life back into you, even when you thought it was hopeless, even when you had some doubt. If you would just listen to the word of God, his promises are true. Because his word is true. But I want to stop right here before I conclude. And I want to share with you something, Monty. We started off this class with an announcement this morning of the passing of a dear brother. It is known that the word is clear. It is appointed once for man to die, but then the judgment. In order to execute that judgment, God will take the mortal body that was put in the grave and one day will speak to it. And the dead in Christ shall get up first. But you will be resurrected. Mike will be resurrected. And although the body goes into the grave, and it could be 10,000 years from now, and some, he will get up with that body. The same body that went in the grave is the body that will get up. And many of you have been concerned about death and burials and, you know, what happens if my body is destroyed in an explosion or an airplane crash and they can't find me, it's burned up. What about having my career? Stop it. We have always relied on Ezekiel. Even though we knew it was talking about restoration of the nation of Israel, we knew that God was giving us some insight into what that resurrecting day would look like. Let me show you something. Remember, he heard a shaking and a quaking. The bones began to rattle. And then he saw skin and sinew, tendons, muscles come on the body. That is a one-to-one correlation with the body that died and the body that got up. Many of those bones were not together. But the word here says, everybody's bone, nobody's bone got mixed up with another. There was a one-to-one correlation with the dead body, with the dust that was there, with the fragmented bones, with the bleached bones, with the bones that the birds had carried off. When God spoke and the wind came, all of it was put back together. And verse 10 tells us that army that was great before stood up. demonstrating the power of God, that God can take your most dreadful, deadful situation and revive it. And if he can, if he did it in the valley of the dry bones, he can do it here. Finally, last word on that. It says every bone came together. The ankle bone was connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone was connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone was connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone was connected to the thigh bone. Bone on bone, your bone. God, the creator of the universe, is just that powerful. He can do anything. He can create life, and he can reconstruct life. He can take life that has been fruitful and bountiful and cut it off and start it again. That's the hope that the word of God brings to each and every one of us under the sound of my voice. And the hope is, and the joy is, and the anticipation is that in our glorified bodies, whenever Jesus comes back, if we're going on, remember one thing, we'll see each other again. Totally reconstructed, untouched by the bleaching of the dry sun and the interaction of the dirt on the body, we will be made whole. And if you can do that physically, you can do that spiritually. God is almighty. Verse 11 to 12.
Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
Some folk doubting me, Deacon Harmon. There was some folk hadn't read the Sunday school lesson yet and realized that I was talking about it, 11 and 12, that God can do that. God says, you just do what I asked you to do. And I promise you, I will do what I say I will do. The interesting thing here is, Lord, I'm a priest. I've been representing the people to you all this time. And in my new role as a prophet, you've given me some very difficult assignments. At least to say this one here. Because I would always want to know, why? I'm quite sure that Ezekiel was wondering in his mind, okay, I'm obedient. I love the Lord. Why this assignment? Because dead folk need talking to. People who are cut off are estranged from Christ, estranged from God, somebody's got to talk. I'm about up to here now. Remember a couple of years ago, I would think I was right there. I think I'm about right here. I'm totally submerged. With folk who think that it is not important to go out and evangelize. Teaching the folk that are whole, preaching the folk that are whole, or thinking that your church, your Sunday school class is so whole, they don't need to hear the word of God. That's crazy. Because God says right here, Brother Bolger, I see you, you heard what you got it. The light bulb went on over the head. I saw it. It says right here, verse 8, he says, this is the household of Israel. This is my people. The very folk that are sitting up and you're thinking are okay, they're nothing but dry bones. That's why the word of God has always got to be taught and preached. Taught and preached. Preach and taught. There is no substitute. Life is too important. Hope reigns eternal. But the only way we can ensure that folk are being revived by the wind of the word is to share it, is to teach it. And it won't necessarily be pleasant all the time. It won't always be under ideal conditions. But no matter whether you're tired, you're sick, maybe you are not hearing, maybe you're out of the will of God. If you've been given a ministry to articulate, to preach, to teach the word of God, then you ought to do it. Men's lives are at stake. Women's lives, boys and girls' lives are at stake. That's how important it is to prophesy this word. Take us home, Sister Gwen, verses 13 and 14.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, said the Lord.
Two applications here. First to the Jew, and let me address that. He's telling Israel, I will take you from those graves. You will not be dying on foreign soil anymore. I'm going to plant you in the land that I promised you. You will know that I am your God. I'll bring you out of captivity. You're in captivity now. You're in harm's way now. But I, the Lord, will bring you out and I will establish you for resurrection. You can be estranged from the word and the will of God. God says, when honest people articulate the word of God, you will be restored. And this is put here, and I understand the emphasis. They want to remain that, you know, how he dealt with Israel in captivity. But what can be more captivating than sin? What can have you more bound than sin? And God says, if the word of God goes forth, my spirit I'll put into folk. I'll indwell folk. I'll give them a life and life anew. This is what Ezekiel calls us to do today. And he says, I'm just one of them. I'm the crazy prophet. Yes, I did preach the bones, dry bones, dead bones. I did preach to the wind. I prayed over dead bones, but I saw the power of God revealed. So the assignments that you have, they may take you into some strange places. Your job simply is to do as God commanded. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That's all I have for you today. I ask you to keep, like I say, the class, the church in prayer, the many that need prayer. And we'll see you guys in church. Have a good one.